We are still in the book of the Revelation. And, in chapter 13. What a challenging chapter this has been. What a challenging time it's been in this chapter. But I've enjoyed it. Working through it. And learning the different meaning of the signs of the symbols. Different representations that have been made in this book thus far. And we still have some to go. But we are in Revelation chapter 13, and we are going to start in verse 9. So Father, we are so grateful today for your wonderful grace and your love and your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for how you blessed us thus far and how you brought us thus far. You've allowed us to come back once again, oh God, to have fellowship together in this place. To represent you on this earth and to magnify and glorify you, oh God. We pray that you will again be glorified today through the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word. Bless us today as only you can, Jesus. Amen. I want you to know my first church was one where these little baby came. Folks used to do that all through the service. it was nothing new. So you expected to hear that kind of thing, you know. So Revelation chapter 13, listen here in verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. If any man have an ear, let him hear. You know, that's one of those things that we've seen through the New Testament, at least since we studied through. And you would think that everyone with ears would hear.
No.
That's what you, in the natural. But the tone of this verse implies that not everyone with ears can or will hear. And so it's either a matter of being able to hear or being willing to hear. So another application here can be found by comparing this wording with the wording found in earlier Revelation 2, verse 7 and verse 11, 17, 29, and then in Revelation 3 and some verses there. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To the churches are excluded from our verse today. It's not even mentioned the churches here. It's excluded from verse 9. It's implying that the church has already been removed from the earth. That's an allusion to the rapture. And so now it's not even talking to the church. It's talking to whoever is here. And then whoever can hear, it says, let them hear. Now, verse 10 goes on and says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Yeah. It's an Old Testament practice. It's called eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If a person did something against another, it would be done to him again. That's the way that it was handled. You kill somebody, you're going to die. And that's the Old Testament. So here it is again. It appears being resurrected or back in practice again. In the New Testament, Galatians 6:7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is what we live by today. Whether you want to or not,
right.
We live by this. Whatever you sow, you will reap. When I learned that, I changed my ways. Because I've sown some not so good things. And I was reaping some not so good things, and I had to say, you know what? This is just what I did. Break off a man's car antenna, and somebody broke off my car antenna. tell somebody's mailbox. Somebody tore up my mailbox. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. So what I did was, I said, you know, from now on, I'm doing good. I'm going to do right stuff so I can, you know, get ready for this old stuff, because there ain't going to be no crop there. It's all coming through. And when, by the time it gets to the end, that I start sowing from the way. And so we just need to try to sow good things. You know, do good. I always try to say, do good. Go about doing good. Healing all like Jesus said, that will oppress of the devil. The Old Testament practice of blood for blood is going to be reenacted during that time. I'm so glad that this is a time to come. And hopefully it won't be in our lifetime, so that we won't have two relatives go in there. It worked well, and it taught people in the Old Testament to value human life. There were few murders, because they knew that if I get caught killing somebody, they're going to kill me. Gonna come right back around. Revelation 13:11 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The first beast will come out of the sea," said Revelation 13:1 at the very beginning of this chapter. "He comes out of the sea, but this beast will come out of the earth." So we're dealing with two beasts that we're talking about. The sea is there to symbolize the masses of humanity. Yes. Uh-huh. But the earth is said to symbolize the land of Israel. Now remember that the focus of the world during this time would be primarily on two places during this time. During the tribulation period, it's going to be the Roman Empire with its one world government, and it will be the land of Israel. I used to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like it was written specifically to me. But I've since learned and put a few more scriptures together that it said about Jesus that he came unto his own. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That means Jesus came ministering to the Jews. Okay. Now, we're benefiting from a lot of what he did now, but all that Jesus ministered, he said, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law. I came to complete or fulfill the law." That means everything Jesus did, the law was still in effect when he walked the earth. There was no New Testament in effect. It had not even come. A testament is not in effect until the testator dies. And so Jesus was still alive, so there was the Old Testament was still in effect. And he was ministering to Jews when he was on the earth. He helped some Gentiles, you know, some folks, the Syrophoenician woman and the woman at the well, you know, different people. He helped them, but it's almost like he gave them a hard time. You know, heal my daughter. Hey, it's not good to give the children bread to dogs, he said. Yeah, you telling me a dog people healing, you know. But what she says, that's fine, you know, just we'll take the crumbs. Her child was healed. And so, but he did not minister to the masses of the Gentiles. He ministered to the Jews. And he came to the Jews. And as far as the Jews are concerned, again, their Messiah has still not come yet. So everything is going to be set up during the tribulation period for the Jews to still be looking for the Messiah. And the Jews are still going to want to get back what they think they lost when their temple was destroyed in AD 70. The last temple that they had. They want to rebuild their temple. And again, we said they're in the process of amassing the different materials. They're getting the priests and everything lined up. They've got a Sanhedrin council over there. They got, you know, people from the priestly reign. And they'll say, well, maybe the priestly reign has been lost because of the dispersion of the Jews. They got DNA today. Mm-hmm. So they can do DNA to determine who then is qualified to be a Levite. So we have medical science, and we have science now that they can figure these types of things out. Everything is coming around, and we're going to see, hopefully we'll be looking over somewhere from heaven and see how these things in Revelation will play out. Now, this is the best we can do today to try and figure out what's being said here in the book of the Revelation. And so they'll be looking there in Rome with its one world government in the land of Israel with its Jewish religion and its temple with that 144,000 sealed Jews and then the two witnesses. That's what they're going to really have their attention is going to be caught by. 144,000 evangelistic Jews. My goodness. Man, I mean, boy, they'd be on fire too. 144,000. and then of course that temple, and then the two witnesses that wreaked havoc on them. They hated those witnesses. The first beast will have 10 horns, the one in 13:1. But the second will have only 2. The second beast looked like a lamb except for the 2 horns. Somehow, this second beast will try to imitate the Lamb of God. But he'll be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The first beast will get his power from the dragon, but the second beast will speak like a dragon. He will use engaging words of good and love, but underneath he will be a dangerous, deadly monster. That's the second beast. Revelation 13:12 goes on and says, and he exercised the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. The second beast, the false prophet, I call him the preacher, just so we could relate to him, his office or what he'll be doing. He'll be the preacher, which they're prophets, you know, but preacher is something we relate to. But he really will, the Bible calls him the false prophet. He will have the same authority as the first. That would, the first one would be the Antichrist. So we've got the Antichrist and the false prophet. The first beast is the Antichrist, the second beast is the false prophet. But they will basically have the same authority. The second beast will be the third member of the unholy Trinity. He will not exalt himself, but he will exalt the Antichrist. Now, the third member of the Holy Trinity is the Holy Ghost. Right. But he would be the third member of the unholy Trinity. He will be just, he will try to do what the Holy Ghost does, meaning the Holy Ghost does not exalt himself, he exalts Jesus. Within the Holy Trinity, we have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Trinity, we have those. In the Great Tribulation, there will be an unholy Trinity. It will be the dragon, it will be the Antichrist, and it will be the false prophet. It will be 3 of them. The false prophet will be the evil counterpart to the Holy Spirit, the second beast. He'll be the evil counterpart to him. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as the comforter. Remember, he described him as the comforter, one who comes alongside of us. He called him a teacher, one who leads and who guides into all truth, one who reminds the disciples of all that Jesus had said to them. That was basically, he was describing the Holy Spirit that was to come at the time, but has already come. Of course, he's expanded his office now because now he lives in believers. And he does the same thing. He has a very distinct office and work, even in the earth today. And so that's what he said about the Holy Spirit. The person of the false prophet, the third person of the unholy satanic trinity, it's satanic, it's unholy, and it's satanic trinity then, is the antithesis of the Holy Spirit. He's not the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit was sent to testify of Jesus, that's what he was sent to do, to testify or to give witness to Jesus the Christ. As he was sent to testify of Jesus, the unholy spirit, if you will, the false prophet, would testify of the Antichrist. And so those two counterparts, he's trying to imitate the same president that had been set previously by God himself. Jesus came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So the Antichrist will come that they may have death. That's why he comes, to bring death. And bring it he will. Bring it he will. The Holy Spirit draws men to Christ. He has this phenomenal office, the Holy Spirit. It's so amazing about him. He draws men to Christ and he uses your conscience to do it. He uses the conscience. And he uses inner conviction to convince them that they have a need for Christ, the Savior. He you know what he uses? He uses the law. That's what the law is good for, to show you that you need a Savior. When you study, people try to keep the law, you feel worse and worse. The more you try to keep the law, the worse you feel. You know, you're just, thou shalt not this. Oh, dang, I did that Wednesday. Thou shalt not. I ain't gonna never do this no more. Dang, I did it yesterday. Yeah. You know, and it's just, oh, man, I can't, how can I do this? Poor old wretched man that I am. Mm-hmm. Poor wretched. We cannot keep the law. We cannot walk in the righteousness of the, and there is a righteousness in the law, but we can't do it on our own. But the Holy Ghost will use the law. That's why it's useful. Mm-hmm. He'll use the law to hit us in our conscience. Mm-hmm. He'll use the law to convince us that we need help. That's what he does. And it's the Spirit of God that's doing it. He will set you up and flip you around. That's what he does. All the time, to me, all the time. He's always on my case. Always, always. Get me straight about this, get me straight about that. He has a phenomenal office. And if we will present ourselves to God, if we will allow ourselves and allow ourselves his access and him accessing us and us accessing him, accessing him, then he will keep us straight. We do need to read the word, but we need the Holy Ghost for the interpretation of that word. Boy, you're not going to interpret this on your own. This is God's word, not man's word. If you don't read the word of God, you don't know what the word is saying to you to do. You got to spend time in God's word. Now, you know what? I don't read so good. They got it on CD now. And if you're online, you could just say, Holy Bible. Enter. Enter and go, woo. And they'll have it straight up for you. You can let it run all night. Yeah. No good excuse for not listening and reading the Bible today. Before, I couldn't read so good. So I understand that. But I come to church, I think, okay, that's understood. Some folks can't even read. So they you know, they go to church and they get all they can. And but now, it is in so many different formats. You will not stand before God and say, well, I don't know. I didn't have time. You didn't have time. You're like, play button number two over there. I know there ain't going to be no buttons, but you know, I got to say button for communication. Click, click, and your living room will come up. What's that in the corner? That's a computer. Were you online, huh? Were you online? Yeah, I was online, Lord. So, did you pull up Bible while you were online? What? Did you pull up Holy Bible while you were online? Yeah, well, Lord, what you getting at? I'm asking the question. No, I didn't pull it up. Why not? What's the pastor's name was? He was Raspberry. Play button number one. Here comes my voice saying, it's online.
Yeah, you got to
very little excuse today for not studying the word. The only reason that you won't study the word is because you don't want it. Should I say it again? You don't want to. So that falls right in your lap. You got nobody to blame but yourself. You got a CD player in your car. Get that CD, pop it in, and take Mary, crazy lady that I'm listening to. Pop that thing out. Then she ain't doing nothing but lying through the whole song and rapping some very vicious, you know, lyrics, you know. And the men is calling the women B word and effing this and screaming and cussing and tearing up. Y'all going down and bobbing your head. Turn it up. Crank it up, you know. Put the word in there. If once you start listening to the word that the Holy Ghost inside of you, you'll begin to witness to you. You'll be going, You'll be thinking stuff like, I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. Oh,
I didn't handle that right. Mm. Well, I need to fix this. Y'all won't do that because you don't want to. So you need to pray that God can help you want His Word. Mm. And if you don't want His Word, what's wrong with you anyway? What's wrong with you? Are you saved or not?
Yes.
Because if you're saved, there should be some degree of hunger in you.
Yeah.
That wants more of what God has to say. Thank God for what He's done. What else do I got here, Lord? Tell me something else about this salvation. But you run around listening to crazy lady and crazy man over here. You know, just bouncing and fussing and cussing and doing all kinds of things. That's the police and kill the cops. And, yeah, all this craziness, you know. Y'all over there talking all that political stuff, and let's put it on the talk show and see what they say about Trump today. They ain't gonna say good stuff about Trump. Y'all don't get mad at Trump. Trump is the president. You know, the police stop you. You start reaching for your license and registration. Don't be sure I want to argue with that man. You respect the badge.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Just because you're a man, don't disrespect it because it's a female cop. She has the same authority as anyone else with the badge. You do what she's telling you. And a gun, and knows how to use it, too. And will probably use it quicker than a man.
Yeah.
And might need to because she's not as strong, you know. Okay, I don't got way to go.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. That's the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He will draw man. He will convince us, dealing with us. And he's convinced me of a lot of things, and maybe not as much as I should be convinced of. But I know of His convicting power. I know He has convicted me in the past. I know that this is how He works, because He's worked it in me often. Often convinced me. This does. Of need of a Savior. That false prophet, listen, he's not going to hesitate to force them. He's going to order men to accept the Antichrist. There's not going to be no conviction. He's going to say, you're going to accept him, or we're going to cut off your head. So you probably won't be there. But the group that will be there, they'll be susceptible to that kind of thing. The healing of the Antichrist deadly wound that's mentioned up here refers back to Revelation 13:3. And it mentions back there where it references this apparent miraculous healing and bringing back from the dead. You know that Jesus spoke about this event? Mm. He spoke about it in Matthew 24:24. He said this, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." I always thought he was talking to me. But I've since learned that I don't think I'm going to be here. Anyone in Christ is not going to be here when this happens. You know, he was talking to the Jews, y'all. And for 20 and 30 years, I'm applying it to me. All of those messages I recorded in all those years, I need to dump. I don't need to share them with you, because it's a mixture of law and grace in many of those messages. But I didn't know any better. But studying through the scriptures, it helps. And from Matthew through Revelation, a lot of this is made even clearer. Oh, there is information in the scripture for the church, but it's in the epistles. And Acts tells us how the church started. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tells us of the person who the church came through, who is Jesus. Tells us how it happened and all that he did. And then we come to Acts, and it says this is how the church started. We were born again and speak the tongues of the Spirit, gave them utterance, and the Holy Ghost came, and they boom, 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 and then they started going out. You got folks now saying, you know what? What we need is another Pentecost. We need it like it did it in Acts chapter 2. Out. Tongue. They want to speak in tongues. You know what happened on that day was
that it says when they were, number one, they were all in one place on one accord. Uh-huh. We struggle to get on one in one accord, on one accord. One accord. That means they were praying and expecting for one accord. And then suddenly, there came a sound as a mighty rushing room. It says, it filled the room where they were. It filled the room. And then they all began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And not only that, fire came down and sat upon them. If we're going to get it like they got it on the day of Pentecost, then we got to have the sound of the rushing wind.
Mm-hmm.
We got to have the tongues. We got to have the fire. It's no, if there was only one day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And folks are calling to go back. And you can't, you know, God did this. We can't even read our word today, but it's talking about going back for what? God has already given us. The Bible says everything needful for life and godliness.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so we have what we need.
Yeah.
If we're not experiencing the victory of it, it's because we are not applying it.
Yeah.
You're walking beneath our privilege.
Yeah.
Folks are always okay under the circumstances. What are you doing under the circumstances? You're walking beneath your privileges because you are under the circumstances. He's given us everything we need. You've got the Spirit of God who lives in you. If you know Christ, He lives in you. He's there all the time. You have the Word of the living God on your lap. In your house, folks got it in their car, sitting on the dashboard. Don't read it, but it's on the dashboard. Good luck. They got it in the back of the car for good luck. That's all you're going to get is good luck. You're going to get luck, but it ain't going to be always good. You know what I mean? You got to take it and get it inside. Get it inside. Yeah, I got a whole shelf of them, you know? It's easy to get that. And so, Revelation 13, let me move on. Verse 13, 14. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth, in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of men. See that? In the sight of the beast. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So he did something so that they saw fire come down from heaven. The Old Testament has several places to confirm the performance of natural phenomena considered supernatural or miraculous. The Old Testament has these things actually happening. They are supernatural, some call them miraculous. When Moses and Aaron stood before Pharaoh, remember? And Aaron laid his rod down, and his rod became a serpent. Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing with their rods, and their rods became serpents. And so that means the devil's bunch counterfeited what God's person had done. And after you read the story straight through, you find that Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod, but that's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the superiority of God over the works of the evil one. But the thing is that these satanic magicians were able to do the same thing that God's person did. And remember, the book of Job records that Satan sent fire from heaven to destroy Job. Animals, sheep, and the people thought it was the work of God. That's what they thought. They could not see what was really happening behind the scenes and the powers that were at work behind those miracles. They did not see this conflict between Satan and God that brought this thing to happen. Just like you don't see sometimes what's going on behind the scenes. when these calamities and things happen in your life. We don't always understand what's happening, you see. But, you know, every time something happens, it's a wonderful opportunity for growth. Spiritual growth. But you really need to know what the Bible says about that set of circumstances. So you can begin to walk in that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an opportunity. We miss a lot of opportunities to grow spiritually because we have fits.
Yeah.
Now what am I going to do? I'm going to do something, you know, and it's like, well, you know, okay, so, yeah, right. First, let's find out. We'll try to find it in the Word and see what the Word says to you about it.
Amen.
She don't talk to me like that. Next time she talks, wait a minute, what does the Word tell you about her? Go and look her up. She's in the Bible. You know, it's in the Scriptures. Go find out what. If you can't find it, go find somebody who can. Ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask. Find out what the Scriptures say and then begin to move in that direction so that you can grow past that. Listen, sometimes I look at life like a series of classes. And if you don't want to repeat the class, you need to pass the test.
Yeah, yeah.
If you fail the test, you got to repeat the class. And I've been in some classes, we've been in some classes where I say, sweetheart, I don't want to take this class again.
Right.
We have got to rise and live, get past this thing. So we won't have to take this class again. And sometimes I look at it like a series of classes. Sometimes there's conflict. Sometimes you listen. I know. I get it. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Life is hard. Life is always in your face. I know. I'm not better than you. And we are not different. I'm up here talking, you know, teaching you. I've placed me to do this. But I get it. Life is rough. It's always. And listen, I'm going to say something that might be hard to hear. But if God tells you to do something, you do it.
Amen.
I ain't through. There will be resistance the first day that you set out to do it. But you do it anyway. You get a flat tie, you can change the tie saying, I still got to go do what God said to do. And you're tired and can't hardly walk and say, I'm just going to go home. You get up and you go and you do what he said to do. I do believe that your protection is in doing what God told you to do. Don't let it stop you from doing it. If you feel in your heart he's told you to do something, do it. Because there will be resistance. Because the world is going to stop you if it can. And you say, well, you mean the world is worried about me? The world is made to work against the things of God. This system of the world is designed to work against the works of God. The God of this world hates God, and he's the one that has arranged it in the order that it's in now. So anything God tells you to do is going to come smack up against this world. This world is going to fight you. It's going to fight the performance of everything God places in your heart to do. But you do it no matter what. Unless you're unconscious, or you're in the hospital, they can't move. But, you know, there are things, you know, you get death in your family or something. I've a couple of times I've, you know, been at the Haven, you know, preaching for, I don't know, 5 years, 8, 9, 10 years. I don't know. All of those years, I only missed maybe 2 or 3 times. My brother died. Well, I need to be gone. My brother died. My sister died. I can't make it this week. I got to go bury my sister, you see. But normally, if it was my time, I'm going to be there. I'm going to show up, you know. And just telling you, just do what he tells you to do. No matter how hard it gets. No matter how I'm just, I ain't going to bother today. No, bother today. You bother. You go and you do it. You do what God tells you to do. That's victory.
Yeah.
It's victory in God's kingdom. That's victory. That's one more for God. But you do it. You have to push past those distractions. You have to push past those things because they will present themselves. And I'm talking about the world. Let's not even get on your flesh. Your flesh don't want to be bothered with no doing no work for God. Your flesh want to stretch out and relax and have some iced tea and put on the whatever you like watching on TV. And you like, you got all those programs you like, understand that. But listen, be obedient to Him. Be obedient. All of these miracles. And just a side note, miracles don't save you. Jesus saved. Nobody got saved looking at a mirror. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10, the Apostle Paul wrote that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Deception. All unrighteous deception. This account goes on to say more about the people that will fall under the spell of this lawless one in that day. In verse 10 there of 2 Thessalonians, look at what Paul wrote from the King James Version. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God sends strong delusion after a certain point. You got no choice when you get there. You're going to believe a lie. You're not going to rationalize, say, oh, this can't be true. You're going to, because He will send strong delusion. There's a side of God that, you know, you don't really want to get on. You don't want Him to give you over to a reprobate mind. You don't want Him to stop trying to change you. You don't want Him to stop trying to influence you. There are points in certain lives where God will give them over to a useless mind. He's done all that He can. They refuse Him. He just give them the fine. Go on and have your way. You never want to get that way. You need to be responsible for what God is doing, y'all. You don't want Him to say, go ahead, have it your way. Not my will, but your will. Jesus said, not my will, Lord, but yours. You don't want God to say, yeah, not my will, but yours. You don't want that. You know, I love to watch magicians. It's something really to watch. There's something very entertaining about how a person can cause an object that I'm looking at seem to vanish right in front of me. You know, it's just phenomenal to me to see these guys do this. These practitioners, they are professionals. And they are professional sleight of hand artists. And they use subterfuge, they use deception, they use distraction, they use psychology, they use smoke, they use mirrors and other things to perform their craft. They put things in place, you know, phenomenal. Often, the disappearing lady in the box, you know, the lady who magically appears at the back of the room, or she comes through the ceiling and shows up over here on a rope, she's a twin. they use twins. This guy would disappear on the stage, and then they go, her, and folks would come like, wow, how did he do that? No, the brother's under the stage, going back into the dressing room, and just, you know, and they do this, and they use, they talk. If you notice, they constantly doing this, they're constantly talking. I'm going to show you something today, you know, you're not going to believe what you're going to see, right? So look at my sleeve, nothing up my sleeve. All right, a beautiful assistant coming over here, and this lady just, you know, this knockout comes walking in, and of course the guys are like, let's see your assistant. And he's like, now, what we got here, we got four cards, I'm going to show you four, and he's talking, and also he's directing your thoughts. And making you think what he wants to think. And then before you know, he's pulled something out of the sleeve, and you're like, ooh, ah. But they are so good at this sleight of hand. They're so good at it. And they're so clean. I watched one man cause a complete jet plane disappear.
I seen a man have it.
I don't know how he did that. He didn't. But it appeared. But you can't mess with an American symbol like that and make it disappear. man, those people lock him up, man. He would spend the rest of his life in jail if he got rid of the Statue of Liberty. But we're watching, and he did something that made you believe that he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. And these people did something that made me believe that he made a giant jet disappear. Like, wow. Now, come on, man. Yeah, he's got powers of suggestion and he's sleight of hand and this direction and everything, but a jet? Yeah, good. One of the most impressive signs of the false prophet will perform is to cause fire to come down from heaven in the sight of a great multitude of people. That's going to be very impressive. This won't prove he is God, but many will believe that he is. Once he captures the imagination of men, he will demand that they build an image to the first beast. And he's going to demand that they worship this beast. They will gladly comply, because that's how they'll be here then. They will have gotten them. And they will worship this idol. Again, in chapter 13, I was thinking this morning, have you ever seen a tall building with a 13th floor on it?
No.
I've heard that they don't put 13 floors on tall buildings. They skip number 13. Even the builders won't put a 13th floor on a building. I gotta tell you that chapter 13 has been one of the hardest chapters for me to work through. But you know, chapter 13 is about Satan. It's about the beast and the false prophet and the dragon. The dragon would be Satan. And every time I preach on Satan, all kinds of calamity and craziness happens all around me. I look up, it's a full moon Wednesday. I'm like, oh man, what is going on this week, you know? Something about the number 13, and folks always talk about unlucky 13. I don't know about the luck. All I do know is this. Chapter 13 has been a bear for me this week. It's been very, very different. And just between me and you, I'll be so glad to be through with chapter 13. Because it's a chapter, and it's amazing talking this deep about Satan falls on chapter 13. The number that everybody calls unlucky. Yeah. I don't know about luck. You say, listen, you don't mean, you know, if you break a mirror, you're going to have 7 years bad luck. You ain't got to do nothing for bad things to happen.
No, at all.
And then good things happen.
Yeah.
And bad things happen. Mm-hmm. That's life. Not a broken mirror, walking under a ladder.
Yeah.
That's not, but of course these are little wives. Fables and things like that. But you know, bad and good, life is just like that. Bad and good things happen if you don't do anything. It's going to happen. We're going to have bad things and good things happen. So next time, God willing, we will be back again to culminate this chapter 13, which will end in us finally getting to that dreaded number, 666. And, you know, there is power in the name of the Lord. And there is strength in the name of the Lord. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I want to ask my wife if she will come and favor us with a closing number.
Oh Lord Jesus, come in the name of the Lord, and coming back in the name of the Lord, and we come to you in the name of the Lord. This land from God. church someday, leading fruit of praise. Yet many are to give him praise. And his eyes to glimpse his eye. He's the heart of all men, and he knows his father's mind. He speaks his father's word, for he comes in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, there is power in the name of the Lord, and there is hope in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who comes. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the liberty to say the things that we say, to hear the things that we hear, and to worship, honor you in this day. Bless us, Lord. Bring us back again. Keep us safe, Lord, that we will come again. Edify one another and remember to love one another and pray for one another. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.